Hallelujah, hallelujah. If you stand with me, let's just worship the Lord here tonight. Welcome him and ask that he would speak to our hearts. Lord, we thank you so much, Jesus. We thank you for your goodness, your mercy, Lord God. Lord Jesus, we just want to hear from you, God. I pray, Lord, anoint your word tonight. Anoint our hearts tonight. Lord Jesus, God, speak through your word to us, God. God, we thank you so much, God, that we have a living God, a present God, a God who cares about us, a God who loves us. We thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Psalm 68:19. The book of Psalms, chapter 68 and verse 19. Amen. Scripture says, blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us up with benefits, even the God of our salvation. You may be seated. Last week I spoke from Matthew 22, asking the question, do you love yourself? And one aspect I talked about was how God wants to bless us. It's a fact in the scripture. He wants to bless us, and how we should personalize it, get it in our spirits that God wants to bless me, that he loves me, that I'm lovable, that he wants to bless me. Tonight, we're going to dive into the concept of blessings a little more. John 7:38 says, he that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. It's just another scripture about the blessings of God flowing on our lives. Amen? How many of you are thankful for the blessings of God? Amen. However, we can easily get into a your best life now mentality, where we approach life as it is just going to be a river of blessings flowing in our lives. An abundance of money, an abundance of goodness. No problems in the world. A mindset of running through the grassy fields of life, skipping and hopping, singing tra-la-la, la-la-la-la. Ba-dum-ching. What happens then is that we focus on and we pursue the blessings. And we totally leave the giver of blessings out of the equation. We totally leave the giver of blessings out of the picture in our lives. Yes, as I said last week, it's a fact that God wants to bless us. And yes, as I stated, we must then personalize it and believe that God wants to bless me. But it's important that we have a proper perspective when it comes to God's blessings. We must understand God's way of blessing. All through scripture, there is a resounding theme for humanity to turn from their own ways, their sins, through repentance and turn toward God. And it's through our repentance that the blessings of God can come. 2 Chronicles 7:14, a very familiar verse, and I'm reading from the New Living Translation. It says, then if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and restore their lands. There is a blessing when that can come when we repent. Two statements that Jesus said while he was on the earth, Mark 2:17 says, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. His goal was to see sinners repent and turn from their ways. And John 10:10, he says, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. He came for sinners to come to a place of repentance. Why? So that they might have life and have it more abundantly. You see, sin separates us from God. When we are in sin, we are separated from him, and in turn, we are separated from his blessings. Again, a mindset of wanting the blessings, but yet we live our own life without any thought of the one who gives the blessings and what he would want us to do. Sin destroys. Sin causes havoc. A life full of sin is not a blessed life. It's not a long-term enjoyable life. Oh, sin is enjoyable for a season, but long-term, it's not an enjoyable life. God loves you so much, and wants to bless us so much that when we are in sin, he may allow life to be miserable for us. We read in 2 Chronicles 7:14, the scripture, if we humble ourselves, turn from our wicked ways, he's going to bless us. He's going to restore things for us, restore our land. However, if you look at verse 13, it's very interesting. Again, in the New Living Translation, it says, at times I might shut up the heavens so that no rain falls, or command grasshoppers to devour your crops, or send plagues among you. And then it goes into verse 14. Why do I might do that? So then if my people who are called in my name will humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven and forgive their sins and restore their land. God allows the circumstances to come in our lives, the natural consequences of sin and the miserable life that comes along with sin. Why? Because we will humble ourselves and we will turn to him in repentance. Why? So that he can bless us, restore our land, have a life that is truly rivers of flowing water. Blessings can come through repentance. Blessings can also come through our obedience. The children of Israel, the scene, let's set it, the children of Israel had come out of Egypt. They had seen the miraculous hand of God in their deliverance from bondage, as from slavery. They had seen the miraculous hand of God in the parting of the Red Sea, where they walked through on dry ground, but Pharaoh and his army was destroyed as the sea came back into its original place. Why did God lead them out? Because he had a plan for their lives. He had a blessing. He had a promise that he had made to their ancestor Abraham hundreds of years earlier. So they're out of Egypt, and we find in the book of Deuteronomy that the Lord is speaking to them through Moses about their future. In Deuteronomy chapter 11, starting in verse 8, says, therefore shall ye keep all the commandments which I command you this day, that ye may be strong, and go in and possess the land, whither ye go to possess it, and that ye might prolong your days in the land, which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give unto them and to their seed, a land that floweth with milk and honey. For the land whither thou goest in to possess it is not as the land of Egypt from whence ye came out, where thou sowest thy seed and waterest with thy foot, as a garden of herbs. But the land whither you go to possess it is a land of hills and valleys, and drinketh water of the rain of heaven. A land which the Lord thy God careth for. The eyes of the Lord thy God are always upon it, from the beginning of the year even unto the end of the year. And it shall come to pass, if ye shall hearken diligently unto my commandments, which I command you this day, to love the Lord your God, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul, then I will give you the rain of your land in his due season, the first rain and the latter rain, that thou mayest gather in thy corn and thy wine and thy oil. And I will send grass in thy fields for the cattle, that thou mayest eat and be full. If we go down to verse 22 of chapter 11, continues on, for if ye shall diligently keep all these commandments which I command you, to do them, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to cleave unto him, then will the Lord drive out all these nations from before you. And ye shall possess greater nations and mightier than yourselves. Every place whereon the soles of your feet shall tread shall be yours. From the wilderness and Lebanon, from the river Euphrates, even unto the uttermost sea shall your coast be. There shall no man be able to stand before you, for the Lord your God shall lay the fear of you and the dread of you upon all the land that ye shall tread upon, as he hath said unto you, behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse, a blessing if ye obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day. Later on in Deuteronomy chapter 28, lots of scripture, but it's so clear what the Lord is expecting for the children of Israel. Chapter 28, 1 through 6 says, it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations in the earth, and all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Blessed shalt thou be in the city. Blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body and the fruit of thy ground and the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thy kine and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. It sounds like a dream world. How awesome is that? I want to be that guy. I want to be the one where everywhere I go, I'm going to be blessed. Everything that I do, I'm going to be blessed. Everything about my life is going to be blessed. What a credible promise that the Lord gave the children of Israel. But there's a simple qualification to all these blessings that the Lord had promised Israel. Scripture says, if ye obey my commandments. Blessings can come through obedience. So in our daily lives, Scripture says, the Scripture we read in the beginning, it says God will load us up with benefits. The question remains for us is, are we obeying him in our lives? We want the blessings of God, and we believe that he wants to bless us, so it would behoove us to search out Scripture to find out what his commandments are for our lives. What do Scripture say about the entertainment choices that I make? What does it say about the music choices, the movie choices, the TV choices, the video game choices? Just because it's the hottest, latest video game, what does Scripture say about it? Does it promote good thought? Is it blessed? What's that scripture in the New Testament? Is it causing you to think on good things or killing the devil? Diablo 3, Max Payne 3 just came out. Come on now, let's play some games. What does Scripture? I'm not bashing those. You got to figure that out for yourself. What does Scripture say about video games, your movies, your entertainment choices, or simply the amount of time we spend on those entertainment choices? Hey, you know, Peter and a bunch of us, we play board games. We're big into board games. Puerto Rico and Dominion and all these games. But if we every single day said, you know what, let's get together. Peter, you got an awesome new house. Let's just spend every single night of the week at Peter's house. 6 o'clock, hey, you've got a grill. We'll all trade off grilling. I'll bring the meat one day. You bring the meat the next day. And we'll be there from 6 to midnight, till 2 to 3, playing board games. We could play a lot of board games. Those board games are perfectly fine. They're great. I love them. I sometimes win. If Peter's not playing, I sometimes win. But you know what? It may be a good choice, a good entertainment choice, a good fellowship choice, but what does Scripture say about the time that I spend doing that every single day, every single hour? What does Scripture say about the establishments that we visit, the circle of friends that we keep, the activities we participate in, the language that we use, the actions that we take? We need to search out Scripture. Another point is that the Bible doesn't say obey the commandments that we know about. Israel, you know, obey the commandments. You look at, I've been in my Bible reading, I've been in last month or so, Leviticus and Exodus and Numbers, where it goes through law after law after law after law. And I was telling Hyphen, sin offering, burnt offering, you know, peace offering, this offering, that offering. And if you do this, you have to bring this. If you can't afford this, bring this. But if you can, then do this and this. And with this part of the bird, do this. But with that part of the bird, I mean, their manual is probably like, I could just see the priest. Oh, man, burnt offering, burnt offering. What do I got to do? I forgot. I got a pigeon. What do I do with the pigeons again? Talk about a like ministerial licensing process. My goodness. But just because they didn't maybe know the perfect letter of the law, God said, oh, well, he's a newbie. Excuse him. What happened to Aaron's two sons? They were burnt by the Lord, fire from heaven. Why? Because they gave strange fire. And from my understanding of looking into that, they're supposed to take the coals from the brazen altar, but they somehow got coals from somewhere else. And a simple thing like that. And I'm sure they knew. Maybe they forgot that day. I don't know what happened. But just because we don't know what Bible says doesn't mean that excludes us from doing those things. Because the scripture says, diligently keep my commandments. Diligently means simply something that is done or pursued with persevering attention. To have diligence is saying, if we don't know what thus saith the word of God about this area of my life, that we're going to find out what it actually says. It's not, well, I really don't know what God wants in this area. Hopefully, Pastor will get to it on at some point and teach about it on Wednesday night, you know, and I can just take what he says and apply it to my life. But until then, I'm really, I don't know. I have no clue what he wants. It's not a big deal. He can't hold that on me. The Bible instructs us to study to show ourselves approved. The blessings of God can come through our obedience. Another way that God can bring blessings into our life is a way that is a very hard one to grasp or to accept how God would work in that way. Because we are, after all, human. And God's ways are higher than our ways. But when we are obedient to his word, when we are living a repentant life, yet the blessings don't come, and things may even seem to get worse. It's another way that God can bring blessings, and that's through the storm or through the wilderness. Let's look back at the children of Israel again. They really hadn't done anything for themselves, but they had seen the hand of God in their lives. They were miraculously delivered from Egypt. They were reminded of the land flowing with milk and honey, a place where they wouldn't have to build cities, but rather they would occupy cities that others had built. They would reap the harvest of crops that they never planted. But they are given these promises, and then God leads them into a desert place, the wilderness. There wasn't enough water to sustain a million plus people. Not enough food, and we may know the story where they just begin to throw them all out of whack. What in the world? We're going to milk and honey, and here now we don't even have water. God, we should have just been back in Egypt. Well, wait a minute. What about that blessing, God, that you were talking about? The promise that I believe you gave me. We look at another portion of scripture that described the Lord's blessings for the children of Israel in Leviticus chapter 23, verses 3 and 4. It says, if you walk in my statutes, keep my commandments and do them, as we talked about, obeying the Lord, then I will give you rain in due season, and the land shall yield their increase, the trees of the field shall yield their fruit. We got that, but look at the little word. It says, in due season, I will give you rain. I will give you those blessings in due season. So I believe that God wants to see if we will walk in his statutes and follow and keep his commandments despite what the current surroundings are like. Will we wait until the due season? Will we trust God through the storm, through the wilderness that we're in? Sometimes God doesn't bless right away because it would spoil us. It would ruin us if we got it all right now. You think about kids who get everything they want. Glory. And there's no kids in this church like that. But you observe that. I remember I worked at PDQ when I was in college. Go PDQ. And man, I'll never forget this. Guy walks in with a kid. He's probably four. Had to be like four. Little boy. And I hear him as he come in. All right, just one candy. Just one candy. Don't get two. Don't get, you know, just one candy. So the guy gets his coffee or whatever, and the little boy comes up, and he had like four, like, candy bars. Four, you know, bags of whatever it was. I don't remember what. And like, nope, son. Just one. Just one. And the kid threw a fit. Threw himself like, I want four. Not like two. It's like, I want four. And this guy gave in. And I helped him and took his money. And thank you for helping PDQ. But I just shaking my head. He's given all his life. He'll be given what he wants. And then he's 18. Has to work a job. Has to make his own money. Sometimes I wonder if God just doesn't bless us right away because we need to learn a few things. Sometimes we need to go through things to refine us, to work on us so we are ready for the blessing when it comes. James 1 and 2 says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. If you look into the translation of temptations, it means adversity or trials. Count it all joy when there's something going on in your life that you may not understand. Just a quick application of that. I was out on the basketball field last night and enjoyed myself as I tried to attempt to play with college students. And my mind said move, and my upper body moved, but my lower body didn't necessarily move as quick as I wanted it to, and I ended up falling with all my weight on my knee and my wrist, and anyways, it was just a bloody mess. No, it wasn't that bad. But I got home, and I'm thinking, I should probably clean this out, and I went into our supplies, which I typically never use because I'm a strong guy and I can deal with it, but they had the, you know, pre-soaked alcohol pads. Because I know that you should clean your scrapes out. It's good for you. And at 33, I'm still the biggest wimp when it comes to that. And I'm saying Fiona wasn't even in the room, and I'm just like, it hurt. It was horrible. But I had to do it if I wanted to make sure I didn't get some nasties in my knee. That flesh-eating bug that that girl got from a cut down in Florida. Trials may hurt. The storms may blow. The wilderness may not be a fun place, but what is God preparing you to get in the future, in due season? God can bring blessings through the storm. Another area that is so intertwined with going through a storm but also can stand on its own is how God can bless us through our faith. Scripture says that we can and we should trust God to supply all our needs, all our blessings. Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Jesus explains how this works. Matthew 6, starting in verse 25. And I'm reading in the New King James Version. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to its stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. He can and is able to bless us with all the needs that we have. But it's through our faith in him that we see this happen. When we seek after his kingdom of God and put all of that in his hands. I'm not saying just, well, I'm quitting my job then. I'm just going to trust God. No, God gave you a brain and the ability to work for a reason. We just got to trust that God will supply the job that we need, that he wants us to have, and work in the way he wants us to work. In Mark 10, Bartimaeus, who was blind, received a sight when he had faith in the healing power of Jesus. In Matthew 15, the Canaanite woman whose daughter was demon-possessed was basically called a dog, and yet she had faith in Jesus to reply that, hey, the dogs get the crumbs from the master's table. Just give me a crumb. That's all I need because it's going to fulfill everything in my life. And Jesus marveled at her faith, and her daughter was made whole that very hour. On and on through the New Testament, we're given examples of those who simply had faith in God. They held on to that faith, and their need was met. They received their blessing. God can bring a blessing through faith, through our faith. And finally, God can bring blessings through biblical principles. Sometimes we wonder why folks who are not even in a church, they're not even living for God, Why are they so blessed? And here I'm just struggling. It's because they follow biblical principles without maybe even knowing it. And as a result of following the principles, they are blessed. God will bless based on principle alone. Whether they're obeying scripture or not, or whether they're repenting or not, if they're following a principle that's in the Bible, he will bless them. It behooves us to get our focus off others and bemoaning the fact that they don't even go to church and they are blessed. We should really examine ourselves in light of biblical principles, and there are many. As an example, though, tonight I'm going to talk about giving. Malachi 3:10 says, "Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it." The Bible doesn't say that God will bless you financially, and if you stay in church, you'll eventually be a millionaire. Just come to church. Eventually, God is just going to bless you. No. There's a principle of giving. There's a principle of giving. This principle is found in Malachi that we just read, but also in Luke 6:38 says, "Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again." Sometimes we get the order wrong. We want the blessing so that we can bless the kingdom of God. For example, I work in the web development field. I develop our company's website. Don't ask me if you want a website to make you one. I develop my company's. It's not anyways. Computer people are immediately branded as they can do everything. Specialized field. But being able to develop a website, I have a friend who has oftentimes come to me and said, you know what? He's in the church and loves God, doing great things for God. But he comes to me and tells me, you know, all we need is to come up with the next Facebook or the next Pinterest, or the next great website idea that will allow us to make millions. Facebook, IPO is coming up, and probably billions are going to come into Facebook. And that's what drives this individual, like, man, and they're not in this church. Else, they'd be, like, very convicted right now. No. But it comes to me, and it's like, we can make millions, and not for us, but so that we can give like we want to give. Because we've talked about giving together and blessing missionaries and me coming from a missionary home and the stuff that travels that missionaries have to go through. I have a passion to, there's got to be a better way. I wish I had $20 million so all missionaries could just stay over there and just come back and rest instead of traveling. But anyways, little pet peeve of mine. But it's like saying, Lord, I'm going to keep paying my tithes because that's what's required. If I don't, I'll be cursed. So I'll pay my tithes. But you know what? As soon as you bless me with a whole lot of money, God, I'm going to give to missions. That's worthy. God, I'm going to give to the Sunday school. I'm going to give to Hyphen Campus. You know, Mother's Memorial's coming up due in the end of this month. And, you know, if I got blessed in the next 2 weeks, God, I'm going to give to Mother's Memorial. This summer, God, man, if you bless me, God, I'll give to She's for Christ. I'll give, God, if you bless me. Lord, I'm ready for a blessing. But God doesn't respond to our negotiation tactics. As Pastor Grant said a couple years ago in a message, God will invest the most where he gets the most cooperation. So I ask you, are you giving now? If so, God will honor that. It's a principle in the Bible. Application of this. Contribution envelope. If you notice, tithes is on the top. Required. You know, if you need to know about tithes, talk to pastor. It's required. It's paying your tithes, not giving your tithes. Anyways, moving on. There's 15 local ministries on here. 15 local ministries. I ask, do we have $3.75, pretty much a typical Starbucks, every check to give one quarter to each ministry? Above our tithes. How about 50 cents per ministry? $7.50. Do we have enough? Well, come on, Phil. I'm talking about blessings here that we want. I'm talking about big bucks, giving $100 per ministry, giving $1,000 per ministry. Come on. Let me ask this question. Why would God bless us with the ability to give $1,000 to every ministry, every paycheck, if we won't even give 50 cents to every ministry when we are able to? It's a principle. You want to give $1,000 to a ministry? Start with 50 cents. God will bless that 50 cents. You want to be able to bless a missionary with a $1,000 offering for a special project when they come through for literature or for the starting of a Bible school, the construction of a church? Start with $10 today that you could afford, or maybe it's only $5. You know what, God, I can't give $1,000, but someday, if it's your will, I will. I'm going to give $5 because that's all I can give, but I'm going to give $5. Or is it, man, I'm going to wait till my $1,000 comes in, then I'll give it, God. This $5, I got to buy me a hamburger, 5 hamburgers. Pastor was preaching in the fall of 2004, less than 6 months into my marriage. And he was preaching, I believe, just a basic message on stewardship. And he simply mentioned, and talking about him and Sister Grant, about how when they got married, they started in ministry. They gave 50 cents or quarter, whatever it was, to every ministry. It basically allowed them to pray for everyone because they gave to that ministry. They couldn't be mad at that ministry because they're giving and blessing them. We started that fall. We're like, you know, that's a cool idea. I had no clue about, I shouldn't say I had no clue about the principle of giving, but I didn't understand like I do now, the principle of giving. And so we started with 50 cents per ministry. And by the summer of 2005, in 9 months, God had blessed, and that had quadrupled to $2 per ministry. Well, $2, $100, $1,000, come on, Phil. But it was just incremental. God was like, and I don't say this to say, wow, I give to each ministry. It's the principle to see that if you give, and God says, you know what? I'm going to give this guy a raise. Let's see what he does. Is he going to keep it at the 50 cents and say, God, I'm giving 50 cents? Or is he going to say, you know what? I have more capacity to give. Now I'm going to give $1. Or now I'm going to give $2. And you know what? That's what God does. That's the principle of giving. If you sow, he will bless. He will trust you if you say, you know what? I'm cooperating, God. We didn't even have the clue of the principle. We didn't even grab. We were trying to be team players. We were like, you know what? We want to bless every ministry. We want to not have an attitude for certain ministries and beat the Sunday school because we're youth and campus stinks because we're youth. And no, we're going to give to them. And then when we give every time, we're like, oh, I've got to have a good attitude. No, it wasn't that bad. Wasn't bad at all. But when we started, it wasn't about the blessings. But man, I look back 8 years ago and the capacity to give compared to 8 years ago. It's God. That simple, consistent, faithful, following after principle. God will bless. God will bless you if you follow biblical principles. Amen. Let's give a hand clap to the Lord as the musicians come. So where are you tonight? Does life stink because you're living in sin? You're not seeing the blessings that you want. You're just miserable. Well, you know what? God can bless you through repentance. All it takes is one trip to say, you know what? I'm done with going this way. 180, I'm going this way. God, whatever you have for me, I'm going this way. Maybe it's obedience. Maybe it is like, you know what? Something's been dealing with me about this area, this action, or this entertainment choice, and I really don't know what God wants for me in that area. You know what? It just takes a trip to the altar to make up in your mind, you know what? I'm going home and studying this because I want to know, I want to obey his commandments. God will bless you. Maybe you're going through that storm. Maybe you've had that promise of a loved one. As Sister Brown talked about, keep praying for your children if you're a parent whose child has gone astray. Maybe it's that promise that God gave you so many years ago. Maybe you've been wanting something and then you come to realize, you know, it might not be possible. Maybe there's a storm in your life. God may be putting you through that storm for the blessing on the other side. You may not see it because of the clouds and the dark clouds, but on the other side, there's some sun shining. And come, you can come tonight and just, again, determine, Lord, I'm going to have faith in you. There's blessings in the storm. There's going to be a blessing if I have faith in you. If you need a job, if you need a financial miracle, if you need a healing, you know what? I'm just going to trust you. Why? Because your word says so. And I'm going to have faith, and the blessings can come through faith. Will you stand with me? God wants to bless us, church. Not just us as a corporate body and not a personalized way, but no, he wants to bless you. He wants to bless your family. He wants to bless my family. He wants to bless me. Oh, what's the area that he wants to bless you through? Won't you come at this time? The front area up here is open for you to pray and seek after the Lord.